Man, it's great to see Miss Shirley here with us. Finally back, able to, feeling good enough to be back with us today. I didn't see Rebecca come in, and Sister Beasley didn't see the two of you come in this morning. It's good to have you back with us today. Yes, indeed. It's a great opportunity to be together on the first day of the week, be together as family. Amen? And especially when we come together, remember what God has done for us and what we just celebrated, the sacrifice that Jesus gave on Calvary for us, for our sins. And you know, when you think about it, and I've mentioned this before, but it's been a while, just as a reminder, I won't charge you extra for this morning, but just as a reminder, when you think about it, the fact of what we just celebrated, the blood of Jesus is the commonality that we have, isn't it? That's what brings us all together. Were it not for the blood of Jesus, and us being part of that blood of Jesus, most of us would have no reason to even know one another, would we? Isn't it great how God works that way? You see? Brings us together as a family, all bound together by the blood of Jesus. We have been really trying to focus intently on being, for God, a house of prayer. That's what we're really all about right now. That's what we're really trying to focus on. To understand more about prayer and to open our hearts to God more and more. And in particular, what we began focusing on last week is how do we use the Scriptures? How do we open the Scriptures and so that we have not just a monologue with God where we're just telling God what's on our heart and mind all the time, but in actuality where we're listening to what God has to say to us. We open a dialogue here, so that it's a two-way communication back and forth between us and God. And so what we're really focusing on is getting into the Scripture and really looking at what are God's promises, what are the things that He tells us in His Word that we can be focusing on as we pray and as we call upon God to remember the promises that He's made and to remember all of the things that He has told us in His Word for our guidance and our direction and how we live our lives each day. So our prayer life then, again, it doesn't just stay as a monologue where all we're doing is just telling God what we think and what we want, but we're listening to Him for what He thinks and what He wants for our lives. This morning, we're going to talk about being lonely for God. I want you to think about that for just a moment, this idea of being lonesome for God. Now, in order to kind of get us thinking along that line, I want you to stop for a minute and think about the idea of friends that you have. Okay? I want you to think about all the friends that you have. Okay? Think about your friends. All right? Are they running through your mind? How many friends do you have? Okay? And as you're kind of running that list through your mind, now let's start kind of dividing that group of friends that you have into different categories. Would they really be friends, or would you perhaps maybe refer to them more properly as acquaintances? You see, the reality is we all know a lot of people, don't we? You see? And if someone were to say to you, think about how we describe our friends, you know, that we talk to. Somebody comes to you and say, hey, well, do you know so-and-so? And we might go, oh, yeah, I know them. They're a friend of mine, you see? When perhaps in actuality we might know of them, but do we really know them? You see, in such a way that we could call them our friend. You see, there's a big difference between having someone as an acquaintance. I'm acquainted with that person would be the more appropriate way to say it, wouldn't it? Rather than to say, yeah, they're a friend of mine. You see? And probably most of us have a lot of acquaintances, but not as many friends. You see? If you really think about it that way. And so we have that category of all these people out here in our lives that we would say, well, yeah, they're a friend, but then we have those acquaintances, but then there are those people that we would look at and go, yes, they're a friend of mine. And that would refer to the people, wouldn't it, that we generally know a whole lot better, people that we are in regular contact with, people that we're involved in their lives with a whole lot more. And so we would say, yes, he or she is my friend. Someone that perhaps even we know that, well, we can probably rely on them for help if we needed help, you know, moving the, you know, raking the leaves out of my yard or fixing, you know, this or that or what have you. You know, that's my friend. Okay? And then there are those people that we would probably consider not just as a friend, but even as close as a brother or a sister, wouldn't we? See? People that are very close to us, see, that we know that we could trust and we can count on them, and we know that if we really needed them, they would be there for us. And we say, well, yeah, they may not be blood, but they're my closest friends. Okay? So we have lots of different people in our lives, don't we? And a lot of people that we often refer to as friends, but more properly, would be more acquaintances than anything else. And as we kind of start looking at all that list of folks, we tend then to narrow that list down as to who our friends really, really are. Because there really is a difference between being acquainted with someone and being a friend with someone, isn't there? Okay. Now let me ask you to think about this. How would you describe your relationship with Jesus in those terms that we just discussed? You know, would you be, I mean, I'm talking about if you really, really had to be honest about it, okay? All right? I mean, let's not blow smoke here. Let's just be really honest about it, okay? If you really, really had to tell, what is your relationship with Jesus? Would Jesus be more of an acquaintance to you? Well, you know of him, and someone talks about Jesus. Well, oh yeah, I know him. And you might even say, well, he's my friend, but is he really? Or in your life, is he more of an acquaintance? Someone that you're familiar with, someone that you know about, but really don't have a strong relationship with. Or would you describe your relationship with Jesus as being one that is more like, well, yes, he's my friend. And you mean that from the standpoint of saying, yes, we're involved together on a regular basis. We talk, we spend time together, and we're friends. Or perhaps would your relationship be one that you would say, yes, he's like a brother to me in my life? How would you describe your relationship with Jesus at this point in your life? Is he just an acquaintance? Or is he something more? There's an interesting passage in Matthew chapter 23. I want you to turn there with me for just a moment. And listen to the sentiment that Jesus gives here about his feelings for his people, for his children. Okay? Now, he's talking to, you know, some Jews that are gathered together there, and he's really, this is in the form of a rebuke. When you read the whole section here, because basically they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're claiming to be in relationship with God, but their actions are saying otherwise. And listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Gathered chicks. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to be, okay? I want to be a gathered chick. You understand what Jesus is saying here, right? You see, it's the, you know, when a mother hen has got her little chicks out in the yard and they're all kind of running around, and the mother hen senses some kind of danger, then she calls out in chicken speak, okay? I don't know what that is. I don't know how to translate it. But she communicates somehow to her little chicks for that there's danger, and she'll raise her wings, and those little chicks will gather up under her wings. And the reason for that is for protection for them. And that's what Jesus is telling these people at this time, that how long that He has wanted to gather the children of Israel under His wings to protect them. Okay. That's relationship, isn't it? You see? That's relationship. And that's what Jesus wants with us. You see, like that mother hen, He wants to care for us and to love on us. And He wants to protect us. Isn't that just a beautiful picture? You know, when you really start, how many times have you ever read that passage or heard someone else reading it and going, okay, but you know what? When I really stop and think about it, I mean, yeah, that's why I said I want to be a baby chick, you know? Yeah. Where I can feel the security and the love of being gathered there with Jesus. That's what He wants us to have in this relationship that He wants with us. Okay. So He can guard us and protect us. But then there's that statement at the end that's bothersome. But you are not willing. But you were not willing. But you were not willing. I just think that there's too many who are not willing to have that kind of a relationship with God. And that's unfortunate. Okay? Because instead of being protected by God, you're running around out there in danger. And, you know, this world by itself is a dangerous place, isn't it? When you add in the factor of spiritual warfare and the enemy that we have of Satan, who's always, as we've talked about so many times before, who's always out there waiting to pounce on us and to attack us, it makes it even that much more dangerous. It's dangerous physically and it's dangerous spiritually. And so if we refuse the safety and the security of being under God's wings, then we're just like those little chickens who are ignoring their mama's call and just running around out in the dirt scratching for worms on their own, not realizing how much danger they're in. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of folks who are doing just that very thing. You see, here's one of the things that I think is problematic for us as Christians in our relationship with God. In other words, why we don't ever get beyond the idea that yeah, we're Christians and we know Jesus, I think that the reason that that happens so often is because we have been convinced, maybe it's by Satan, I don't know, but I think that we have been convinced that the reason that Jesus came was to forgive us of our sins. Some of you are going, that's right, what's the problem, Russ? The problem is that we've been convinced that that's the only reason that Jesus came, was to forgive us of our sins. And I think that what happens is we go, well, yeah, I got baptized, I had my sins taken away, so everything's fine, right? And we feel secure. And we feel like that everything's good, and so we run around out here in the world in danger rather than gathering under God's wings. You see, what we have to understand in our heart is that, yes, Jesus died to forgive us of our sins, but that was not the end game. Okay? The end game is restored fellowship. You see, that is why Jesus died, ultimately. It wasn't just to take away our sins. It was to restore us to fellowship with God. And I think that's a major part that many are missing, is restored fellowship. Go back, and we've talked about this many, many times, go back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost the most important thing that humanity could ever have, and that was fellowship with God. You see, the relationship that they had before sin was that they walked in the garden in the cool of the day with God. And when they sinned, they lost that fellowship. That's the tragedy. We have to see this for what it is, and I don't think that we oftentimes do. I don't think we understand the importance of fellowship with God. The reason that I say that is because I think if we really, really understood it, and when, listen to me, when God is not active in our life, we don't feel lonely for Him. Think about that a moment. How often do you really feel lonesome for God? Okay? In your daily life, do you ever feel lonesome for God? Because you haven't been spending time with Him. Okay? Go back to your relationships that we were talking about before. And you know, you think about all of those acquaintances that you have, and some people you barely know them, but how lonely are you that you don't rarely ever see them? You see, you rarely ever talk to them on the phone or correspond with them. How lonely are you? How much do you miss them? Well, you know, for me, not much, okay? You know, it's like, oh, I got an email from so-and-so, hadn't heard from them in years. I might or might not respond to it. I don't know. It just depends on how much time I have and how interested. You know, I'm not lonely for those people in my life. Okay, but what about the folks that you would say, well, yeah, they're my friend. You say, we hang out together and we have a lot of fun together. And you go, well, what if all of a sudden they weren't around anymore? How lonely would you feel for that person? How lonesome would you feel, you see? And for some of those, you would go, well, what happened to old George? Well, I hadn't heard from him in a while. Maybe I better check on him. See? And yeah, we might kind of check on him out of concern or whatever, but do we really feel lonesome
for them?
Okay, now let me ask you this. What if your best friend, okay, I'm talking about the person that you knew you could rely on no matter what, that they're going to be there for you because you have such a relationship that you are so close that if they weren't there, you're going to miss them. Okay? What if they didn't contact you for a couple days? You didn't hear from them at all. What if your spouse didn't come home from work today? You see? Or what if your child didn't come home from school today? How would you feel? Not only would you be concerned, but the longer that person was away from you, you'd be lonesome for them, wouldn't you? Okay? How often do you ever feel lonesome for God? We call Him our friend. And we say, you know, I want a relationship with Him. But do you go 2, 3, 4 days, or maybe just like from Sunday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday without ever talking to Him? Without ever hearing from Him, that is, in His Word? Can you go that long and be perfectly fine? Go, oh, I guess tomorrow's Sunday, I better read my Bible. Hey, what are we studying in Bible class again? Or if you didn't have a conversation with Him today already, would you be lonely? Would you be lonesome for Him? Okay. You know, I have to confess to you. In my own life, I have found myself, sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I've been more lonesome for the TV than I have for time with God in my Bible. You know, I'm tired and, you know, I don't want to have to do any brain activity. And so I can just chill out. And how do I do that? Well, let me just flip on the TV and just kind of see what's there. You know, you've been there, haven't you? You know? And if I miss my favorite program, oh, I tell you what, aren't VCRs and that DVR thing, aren't they the greatest invention in the world? You know, we miss our appointment with our assigned TV program. All we have to do is record it. So we can watch it at a more convenient time, right? What about with God? What do we do with Him? Do we really get lonesome? But at the end of the day, we stop and realize, you know, there's been something missing out of my day. I know what it is. I've missed Jesus today. Those times that I've been kind of trudging through my life, my day, and trying to handle everything on my own, and I realize all of a sudden, go, dummy, why have you been doing this on your own? Lonesome for Jesus. See, I think when we really, really get that, the whole aspect of the fact that it wasn't just for our sins that Jesus died, it was to restore us to that relationship with Him, to restore us to fellowship. John tells us in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. That is, with God. Okay. Because that's what He wanted for us, to be back in the fellowship with Him. He wants that with us. The question is, do you want it with Him? The text that was read for us as we began this morning, Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, it really, I think, speaks of, the psalmist here in really showing that whole concept of that loneliness or lonesomeness without God. That as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Of course, we have a song that's based on that psalm, don't we? Yeah. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Do you really pant like a deer pants for the water? Does your soul long after Jesus that way? Okay. Think about the words to that song. What it's really saying about relationship with God. And while we're singing our invitation song, maybe just think about and ask yourself really openly and honestly about your relationship with Jesus. When He's not been in your life for some time, do you feel lonesome for Him? Or do you even miss Him? There's something that we can do to help you in your fellowship with God. That's what we want to do. Okay? If you're already a Christian and maybe you haven't really grasped that in your relationship with Him, how important that really is, maybe we can help you to do that. If you're not a Christian yet, if you long for that fellowship, you're ready to make a commitment to be in relationship with God, and you can do that today. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. And allow Jesus to wash those sins away in the waters of baptism so that you can be restored to fellowship with God, because that's what He wants for us. If you're ready to do that this morning, you can do that. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on. And this morning, if you would like to come up and to share something that's on your heart or mind, or you have a prayer request or whatever it might be, you can come up here and I'll be up here and one of our other elders will be up here, and either Dale or Ted is going to be in the back. If you have something you'd like to pray about or something you'd like to share of a more private nature, what have you, you can go back and spend that time with Ted. And he'll be glad to pray with you back there if you would like to do that. We just want people to know that we're ready to receive you with whatever we can do to help you. Let's stand together and sing.